You're listening to MoveIQ's podcast. I'm your host, Phil Spencer, and I'm absolutely delighted to introduce this season's co-host, my friend Chris Ducker. This is the place where I'll be sharing my advice, my experience, tips and tricks on all things property and moving home. So without further ado, let's get cracking. GoTo offer you an award-winning home moving service, from mortgages to surveys, conveyancing to removals. Their service means one simple point of contact, freeing up your time and taking away any hassle, enabling you to enjoy the move. Be sure to check out GoTo. Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is episode 6 of the Move IQ podcast. And here we are with Chris.
Hello, Phil.
Hi.
How are you?
Yeah, pretty good.
It seems like forever since we've done one of these.
It's a bit of deja vu going on, isn't it? But that's good. We're in a nice place on episode 6, and we're going to be talking about conveyancing and all of the different things that happen once you've had your offer accepted.
Yes. Now, look, my first question to you, I'm going to really dumb it down here. Mm-hmm. Because many years ago when I bought my first property, that word conveyancing came up. And I have to be honest, I didn't have a single clue what it actually meant. I think it's one of those words that gets thrown around quite a bit and people don't really understand the meaning behind it. So for those tuning in that may be just a little slow, like myself back in the day, what does it actually mean?
Well, the conveyancing process is something that's carried out by a licensed conveyancer or a solicitor. Dealing in the transfer of the title deeds, the transfer of ownership from the person who currently owns it to you. That's basically what it is. And there's a number of just legal bits and pieces that everybody has to adhere to enable that transfer to be legally binding.
Okay, great. So clearly a good solicitor at this point in the game is something we want under our arm.
Absolutely vital. You're only really as effective as a buyer as your solicitor. So you've done the legwork, you found the property, you've agreed the price, that's all down to you. From here on, you can't do that much bar manage and monitor the transaction. Actually, it's down to the professionals, your solicitor, and you've got to have good players on your team. That's what it boils down to. The solicitors, same as any other profession, there are good ones and bad ones, there are cheap ones and there are expensive ones. In my opinion, this is a big deal. It's a very important deal to you. It's more important to you than anybody else, more important to you than your surveyor, your mortgage broker, or your solicitor. You found the house. It's where you want to live. It's your money that you're investing. So you've got to have the right people on your team. If everything goes smoothly, then happy days. But actually, if things start to go wrong, if they start to unravel, and a third of offers that are agreed do not reach an exchange of contracts, they fall through.
And what happens in that situation?
Well, it's painful. It's painful and potentially very expensive for everybody involved. You're the one paying the bill. and you're the one that had dreams and ambitions and hopes and everything tied up in living that in that property. So do everything that you possibly can.
Okay, that all sounds great. So what should we be looking for when it comes to finding a good solicitor at this point in the proceedings?
I would say there's loads of solicitors out there. Recommendations. Ask for recommendations of people that have bought similar properties or in a similar area. There is no harm in asking the estate agent, because the estate agents will be very familiar with who's good and who's less good, who's quick and who's proactive and who's uncommunicative and who's slow. You need to understand how your solicitor is going to charge you, whether it's a percentage of the asking, it's a percentage of the price paid, or on a success basis, or on an hourly rate.
Or maybe a combination of all of those.
Maybe a combination.
Some sort of a hybrid,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
There's lots of them out there, but you really want someone who you can rely on, is going to communicate with you in the way that you want to be communicated with, and is going to be a problem solver. There will be problems. There will be unanswered questions. And you need someone who's just going to work with you. You've got to find a way through.
You've got to keep your emotions in check at this point a little bit, maybe?
Well, easier said than done, Chris. You know, emotions run high during these property deals.
Yeah.
And people can get a bit fraught because there's an awful lot at stake. It's understandable. But your solicitor should be there to keep you grounded, and he has a legal job to do. There are legal responsibilities that he has to your mortgage company, as well as advice to yourself.
Okay, so, I mean, part of all this is obviously the actual survey on the property itself. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot of different types of surveys that you can get. How do we know that we're getting the right one with the right type of surveyor for this type of property?
Yeah, that's something that a lot of people ask me about, actually, because it can be a bit confusing. Mm. And when you found a property, you've agreed a price, you tell your mortgage broker or your bank, and you tick the box. You think, well, that's done. I'm getting a survey. You probably tick the box for valuation because that's what your bank is interested in. The bank is interested, is the property worth the value that I'm lending? Not actually, you'd be surprised at this. The bank isn't necessarily as interested, is the property worth what you're paying? If you've got a 20% deposit, the bank's only lending you 80%. So the bank will be interested, is the property worth 80% of what they're paying? So you do need a surveyor on your side. There are different forms of survey. You can have a basic condition report that a surveyor does on your behalf. You might even get a walk round and then a phone call. That's probably the cheapest and the quickest. Not all surveyors will do it, but I've certainly had them done. Mm-hmm. If you're buying a modern house that's just been built, that's probably sufficient.
Okay.
Next on the list would be a home buyer's survey. And that's probably what the majority of people go for. That will flag up if there are issues with the property, whether that's damp or roof problems or some kind of cracking. It will flag it up. It won't do any more.
I'm saying this is an issue that needs to be sorted out. Yeah.
A surveyor can't look under the floorboards or can't, you know, explore the roof under that kind of a survey. And then the full Monty is the full structural or building survey. It's a much more detailed report, usually used in older properties, more substantial properties, where there will be issues. And a survey, remember, the point of a survey is to flag up the things that are wrong, not the things that are right.
Right.
So people do sometimes get a bit scared of the survey. Oh, my God, you know, it's falling down.
It's a great big laundry list of problems here, right? Yeah.
But that's what it's there for.
Yeah.
You read it, take it seriously, but it is there to flag up the problems. Do perhaps bear in mind that the surveyor won't be able to access all areas of the property, but a full structural report should include the surveyor's opinion as to the potential issues with the properties and indeed what you could do about them, how do you resolve them, and what it would cost. So it should, the idea of the full structural is to give you a real proper picture.
Understood. Okay. So we get the survey back and we start, obviously, I mean, the vast majority of home buyers, they don't know what a lot of this stuff means. How do we start interpreting exactly what is in the survey itself? Are there any kind of really big red flags we need to look out for?
If there's a big red flag, the surveyor will flag it. The home buyer's report will just flag the topic of an issue and suggest further research, whether that's damp or roof or structural or drains or something like that. A home buyer's report will recommend going to speak to a specialist in drains or something. A full structural should give you the full picture, but don't be overly scared. You know, they are there to paint a picture. They should be factually accurate and true. But if you've never seen a full structural survey before and the house is 120 years old, it's probably going to be quite scary. But the house has stood there for 120 years. Chances are it ain't falling down.
No, exactly. And I remember when we got ours back on our older property, which is a listed building, I think it was about 26 pages or something. Yeah. And I remember reading it through. There's no way I'm going to buy this thing. This is crazy. But like you say, it's been around long enough. It's not going to fall down. It's just things that you've got to be aware of. And that's the whole point of it.
I think it can really help people if, once the survey, once they've got the survey in their hand, to speak to the surveyor over the phone and just talk it through. The chances are the surveyor will be much more open and honest. Well, not honest is the wrong turn of phrase, but much more open in a conversation over the phone than he will.
On personal opinions and things like that.
You know, what do you think? Would you buy it? What's your recommendation? Mm-hmm. Is that really as bad as it sounds? What's it going to cost? You know, just have a open and frank conversation.
Understood. Now, I mean, Move IQ as a company, I mean, we're involved with the RACS.
Yes.
And, you know, on sort of, you know, the consumer guides and that sort of type of thing. For those who maybe don't know what that means and what it's about, can you break it down a little bit for everyone?
Well, the RICS, the Royal Institute of Chartered Surveyors, they're the governing body, if you like, of surveyors. And because choosing the right surveyor and choosing the right survey is a constant source of, I think, frustration and inquisitiveness from buyers. So we are working with the RICS at the moment to put together a booklet to lead people through that, because it can be quite complex.
It seems to me a lot of the time, you know, this can sometimes take time to get done. And I think, you know, there's that big kind of rush of energy and emotions and excitement when the offer's accepted and now you want to get this survey done. You know, a lot of it is out of your hands as the potential buyer. A lot of it can sometimes take, you know, much longer than you really want it to, because you want things to move along. How much chasing on this should we do?
As much as you feel comfortable with, if it's me, quite a lot. I want to know at every stage who's waiting for who, where everything's got to, and niggle on. You know, what's the next stage? What's the next thing to happen? Is it the mortgage offer? Is it the survey? Is it the preliminary inquiries from the solicitor? Is it the local search? You know, I want to know who's doing what. And when.
And when you can expect it, right?
Yes. There are lots of things that need to happen before you can exchange contracts. There's no point ringing up and saying, when are we exchanging contracts? When are we exchanging contracts? Well, you'll exchange contracts when everything is good and proper and done. You can't exchange contracts before you've got a mortgage offer.
Right.
You can't get a mortgage offer until you've had a survey. So it is a process.
Right.
Now, you can speed that process up, and there are lots of ways and means of doing that. However, we don't live in a perfect world. And even if you speed up and get everything right to an exchange of contracts, to a position where you could, in theory, exchange contracts, if you're in a chain and nobody else wants to exchange contracts, you're then...
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is, indeed. So this is in the, you know, the kind of almost perfect scenario where everything's gone according to plan, the offer's accepted, you're ready to rock and roll. The flip side of this coin, Phil, is when this doesn't work out, when things go wrong. Mm. And that's exactly the subject that we're going to be broaching in our next episode.
Absolutely right, Chris. A third of accepted offers never actually reach an exchange of contract. So it happens to a lot of people. It's tough. It's emotional. And we're going to be talking about it.
Good stuff. Can't wait to dive in for you guys. Thanks for tuning in. As always, we will see you right there in episode 7.
That wraps up this week's episode of Move IQ's podcast. Whatever podcast app you like to use, please do go ahead and hit the subscribe button. I'd also really appreciate it if you could leave a review. Reviews really help other people like you find us. Free resources and materials, head over to moveiq.co.uk. Thanks for tuning in.